All right. If you're somebody who is really wanting to hit the ground running for 2025, then this is the conversation for you. Because I had Jared Jennings here, and he is absolutely an amazing entrepreneur. And he talks about, you know, how he built a beautiful company called Phantom Brands and how he created standout products and his e-com business. But also he does service-based business where he is a coach and he's helping people build their brands and also learn what it means to change the game with your mindset. Okay, so you're going to love this conversation. So stay tuned, grab a pen, grab a pad, because you're going to be taking some notes. What up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Today, I got a special gift for y'all, okay? My guest is Jared Jennings. He is the visionary entrepreneur behind Phantom Brands, which was created as a standout product for high-profile clients, right? From NBA stars to NFL, Jared's own brand was once spotted on celebrities like John Summit and, what is that, Lonnie Walker IV, hitting international store shelves and achieving a jaw-dropping 98K month. Hello! This is the dude, right? So beyond the business wins, Jared credits much of his success to mastering manifestation and mindset transformation, and a game changer on how he has helped entrepreneurs worldwide. And I love that. You know, Jared, this is like something that a lot of people talk about, right? Which is like mindset and manifestation and all that kind of stuff. So I'm glad you're here because you actually have done that, right? And so many people have so many angles. So I want to dig into your little brain here and see what's going on in there. Okay. So before we do that, I want to know more about you. So who are you? Who is Jared? Tell me.
Thanks for the introduction, Nina. So my name is Jared. I run and own Phantom Brands, and I'm also an online coach. I started out in the entrepreneurship journey with my own clothing brand in the e-commerce world. That was my first taste of entrepreneurship. And that was a result of an awful manager and an awful company and being in corporate America, which led me to such a uncomfortable situation that I had to start my own business, which is how it starts for a lot of us. So I was going the corporate route and the traditional route my entire life. Of course, I hit an inflection point. COVID woke a lot of us up. And so I said, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to figure it out. Went into clothing, created Phantom, and now I'm a coach as well.
Isn't that cool, right? That sometimes the things that are supposed to break us make us stronger. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
I have a firm belief that everything happens for us. So yeah, no matter how catastrophic it may seem in the moment, I have faith that it's coming to my benefit in some way or another.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and that's sometimes harder to go through than to say, right? I remember I had a client. And she was going through this emotional block where she had lost her daughter in a car accident, right? And it was horrible and tragic. I don't know if me and you have ever talked about this, but it was horrible and tragic for her. And I remember her going through this. Her daughter had already passed like 5 years when she came to me. And she was still waking up every day with the heaviness of that on her heart. Of course, right? You lost your child. And I had the nerve to ask her, what good can come of that? And she was pissed. Like she was pissed. She cursed me out and the whole thing and hang up and just like, but then she came to me like, I think it was like a week or two later and told me, you know, your question bothered me so much that I couldn't stop thinking about it. And Jared, what she's doing now is she is actually going to schools now and helping children understand what it means for drunk driving. So she's saving lives. So something good does come out of that. So I agree with you. That even the most hard things and tragic things, sometimes you have to pause and say, why is this happening for me? Right?
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
That's a very beautiful story. And I'm glad you had the courage to ask that because not a lot of people would. And not a lot of people would even ask it in that circumstance. But the fact that you did made her open her mind. Because a lot of people would be a little bit timid because it's so grim and it's so awful. So don't want to touch the situation. But if you have the courage to challenge and ask those questions in those really awful situations, you can oftentimes find the silver lining, which I think no matter how bad, and I've been on the other side, right? Where something awful has happened to me and I've lost faith in my own belief, right? Because I couldn't rationalize and reason with why something happened, but you have to anchor in the fact that everything has to happen for us. Because if you don't have that belief, then you could be in a really bad situation with your own mind. Well,
what gave you that belief though? What gave you the anchor, right? Because like you said, if I didn't have that belief, I wrestled with it a lot. So what was that for you?
There's been moments in my life where this has come true through time. So one of the big ones was when I had chronic illness when I was in high school. So I was a really good baseball player, was very competitive. And then I slowly diagnosed a thyroid disease. And this disease lasted years of being undiagnosed. So it completely derailed my path in life. And in the moment, of course, very upset. Why did this happen to me? Blah, blah, blah. Right. All of that sort of talk.
Right.
But then I recognize that because I went through that, I'm much more health conscious and aware now to live a healthier life, not only for myself, but also to help other people. Right. And so when I look back, I can see myself in the moment. I can see myself now, and I can see the growth that came from it. So
okay.
I've been aware of things that have happened to me in my life, which has gave me that belief, but it takes time. It could take years to see this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that, what is that? That hindsight is 20/20, right? That's when you see it all, right? It's like, you know, when I wrote my autobiography and I was writing all of it, and I thought, how did I survive all of that? Like, how the hell did I survive all of that? Right. Mm-hmm. And so like, I was almost murdered, right? So I had a gun to my head, the guy, you know, my ex pulled the trigger and the gun got jammed. Right. And that's why I'm sitting here with you today. Right. So that kind of stuff, like, why would that happen? Well, you know why? Cause I've impacted so many people now. Right. Because I was able to take the story that was so tragic. It was domestic violence and turn that around to help other people. So I totally am with you on this one. I'm totally with you. So when you started building your business, right, Phantom Brands, I mean, it's a powerhouse. So what initially sparked you to do that? Like, you have to have some kind of confidence, some kind of mindset going on, right, to do that. So tell me about the beginnings of that, because a lot of the people who listen to the show are entrepreneurs and like solopreneurs and coaches, things like that. So they're about in that journey or starting that journey. So I want to know about your journey.
So I started my first company called Full Hearts LA, and Full Hearts LA was the clothing brand that I started out, which was worn by a lot of people. And I'll explain how it segues into Phantom. So my own clothing brand, streetwear, I was very delusionally optimistic. I didn't know how much I didn't know. And I just dove in with a bunch of
enthusiasm.
Sometimes
that's good.
Yeah. It protects you from, you know, not taking action, which is good. Right. That's definitely a good thing. I was willing to commit and take the risk very shortly after I realized how much I didn't know. And then I gained the ignorance of my own ignorance, which was very, very, you know, overwhelming in a sense, because it's month one. I went from corporate sales. I'm now a clothing brand owner and a creative director and a marketer, and I'm right. You're wearing all these hats and you have to learn all these skill sets, and you're trying to like hire and delegate some things. It's very overwhelming, especially in that first year. Mm-hmm. But how it segued is because it was streetwear, it was worn by a lot of people, like the DJ and the NBA and the NFL, that whole group wore my brand. And so after a year and a half, I came to realize that the most difficult part about getting a brand off the ground, especially because I bootstrapped it, I didn't raise any money, is marketing and exposure. Like, it's very costly, our costs, all of this sort of stuff. And I built a lot of relationships with that type of demographic, with that type of clientele, because I would give them product. They liked the product, and we just built a relationship. And I realized that it makes a lot of sense for them to own a brand with actual equity, because they wouldn't have to market. They already have an audience. They already have this, right? They just need a back end to build the brand for them. And that's when I created Phantom, to be like a done-for-you service for this type of clientele. So I came out with a done-for-you service. I said, we'll build your brand A to Z. Then we know how to do all this stuff because we built our own. We also know how to manage on the back end and handle fulfillment. So I hit up everybody that I had relationships with from Full Hearts. And I said, hey, we have this service now. And I started talking to people and I closed clients that way. The start of Phantom.
That's so good, right? Like, that's a creative pivot that you made. You know, because sometimes we can get stuck in the, this is my baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, the first clothing line, that's my baby, so I can't do anything but that. That, I think that's a trap that a lot of entrepreneurs get into. And it's interesting that you didn't get into that trap, being that it was your first business, right? Was that your first business, the clothing?
I started some podcasts here and there, you know. My first real business, yes. Like, absolutely.
Okay.
Capital.
Okay.
You know, I'm putting in capital. I'm putting in time, trademarks, domains. Yes. Mm-hmm. First legitimate business. And you're absolutely right. And I talk about, it's like, you have to be very, very persistent, but flexible persistence. Yeah. And when you see an opportunity that makes a lot of sense, it's really important to have that flexibility at that point. Because I've seen a lot of people own businesses a very long time. And because of the market changing, because of conditions changing, like maybe the offer they started with isn't that effective, that more in the marketplace, they're trending upstream, right? They're fighting a really hard battle and they won't let go or pivot, and it's costing them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. You're talking to me. Yes. And that's so true, right? I think I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if it's ego. I don't know what that is that gets in the way, right? Because we want to make this thing work that obviously isn't working, but we want to just make it work anyway. And then we're frustrated. Then we can't be creative anymore because now we're in this burnout stage and this whatever, right? Why clothing though? What was that for you? Were you always just into a lot of clothing, or was that what you were doing corporate and then you just utilized those skills?
I sold payroll. So no.
Oh, very different. Okay.
I was door to door, cold calling, selling payroll to small businesses. So very, very different. And I went to school for business management and sales. Okay. I did work retail. I worked at Nordstrom's and Ted Baker because I wanted some client facing experience for selling. But I've always liked clothing. I've always liked dressing and just being well-dressed in a sense and designing things. Like when I was a little kid, I played baseball, like I mentioned, and I would design the cleats on Nike, the customizable Nike site.
Cool.
And when I thought very long and hard about what business I wanted to start and what field I wanted to go into, because we work so much of our lives. And if I'm going to feel fulfilled and motivated, I want it to be something I have an interest in.
Yeah.
And so when I was considering all of these routes and all the ways I could go, clothing made sense to me, and I've always had a knack for it. And I saw a unique way to go into the market, which was combining like my passion for spirituality and clothing, streetwear, even though that was probably a too aggressive of a risk looking back on it with market education. But I didn't know these things because I was a first-time entrepreneur. But that was essentially what my thought process was with clothing.
I really love that. I love that you just talked about that, you know, the spirituality and all that. So I want to talk to you about that, right? Because when I was reading your bio, you really accredit to manifestation and mindset transformation for your success, right? So I just wanted you to maybe break that down a little bit for us. First of all, how did you even get into that, right? How did you get into spirituality, manifestation, like having that kind of mindset? And I want you to give like all of these people who are listening some practical steps. How do we apply this stuff in our daily routine, right? Because I'm a spiritual person. So I'm always like, for me, it's God. I'm always leaning on God for, you know, for help and guidance on my decisions. And that's how I've grown my business. But I want to know how you got into that. Was it something that was always a part of your life? Or was it something that you started learning? Like, give me a little bit of that.
So I started reading more books around meditation, Tony Robbins, even though he's not super spiritual, but I was very curious about the difference in highly successful people and people that aren't. And oftentimes it really came back to their beliefs and their mindset and their subconscious mind and their programming. And as I'm consuming all this content and reading more books, it's just becoming more and more clear to me. Yeah. And as I'm uncovering this, that's when I dove in. I said, okay, this is like the clear difference maker in what define somebody is oftentimes how they can govern their own mind, their belief systems, or subconscious. It makes that big of a difference. When I came to that realization, I went all in. I started reading books. I started meditating. I started, you know, researching different things like Joe Dispenza and all this sort of information, if you're familiar with him, to reprogram, because I started to gain basically like awareness on how I was programmed as a child, even though I had no say over that. Events in my life that were potentially very traumatic that had a big effect on me that, again, that were just running the show behind the scenes that I had never dived into it ever. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm having these revelations about about my programming. I didn't have
it's
any.
It's so fun, isn't it? It's so fun when you start doing that. Yeah, I love
it. It's fascinating. Yeah. And so that uncovered a lot. And it was very, it just resonated. You know, when I was reading it, when I was looking at this information, I just was like, this makes a lot of sense. And I totally resonate with that. You asked about how to apply it on a daily basis. So what I've been meditating for about 4 years now on a daily basis. I love meditation. I find it very impactful for a lot of different ways. One, manifesting. Two, just getting clear on your life picture. It reduces the, you know, areas in your brain that cause anxiety and worry. I mean, it has really tangible benefits from meditating, even just 10 minutes a day. We all right. have 10 minutes, right? Even though when you start, it's going to feel really long. It's just 10 minutes. You can do it, people. I promise.
Right. So right.
getting into meditation, getting into really having awareness of my beliefs, reprogramming on a conscious level and subconscious level has been really, really powerful for my journey.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. I'm just loving all of the neuroscience and the brain stuff happening and all the stuff that we are now aware of, which is a beautiful thing, right? Because for so many years, I just was a victim, you know, and I just didn't realize I was a victim. So it wasn't until I got into personal development like 10 years ago or whatever, that I started to be like, wait a minute, so I don't have to behave that way, or it's not genetic, or I don't have to do this, you know, like that kind of stuff. And I'm still learning and growing, and I'm getting now into not just meditation, but hypnosis, you know what I mean? And just really trying to reprogram this subconscious mind of mine that my family really kind of jacked up when I was a kid, right? So I'm trying to learn all of that. And so now that you have like Phantom Brand is happening and all that great stuff is happening, and give me a story of something that you've manifested in your life.
I would say the most profound one was the month I did about $100,000. And that was a number that just fascinated me. I was like, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
$100,000 in a month, you know?
Yeah.
That was something that really was very strong in my mind, and it had been for some time. And I made a really big shift in how I viewed it, because I've also tried to manifest things that didn't happen at all, flat on their mm-hmm. face, nothing, right? Like just completely off, like, wow, what happened there? And something I really realized as a revelation in terms of manifesting is I was in a state of wishing for things to happen and hoping for things to happen. That's not the state of ownership, and your subconscious mind knows it, right? And so the most powerful shift I made is really going to a state of knowing and ownership around what I wanted, and just knowing it was already happened, and really deeply knowing that, where a lot of people might say they know it, but then like they're scared subconsciously, right? There's a lot of underlying fears that come up. And so I knew it was going to be a big month. I knew it was going to be a great month. I had a lot of belief, even with deals falling through, things just randomly came in, and it happened. And it was pretty surreal, because then I realized that there's really no limit.
Like, right. Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. I don't want to sound like radical, but I mean, that's somebody's like annual salary in a month.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no, like my mind was like having a hard time, like really grasping with what just happened.
So good.
And that showed me that it's 100% real, but it has to be in a certain formula. And
yeah, I was going to ask you that. Give me the formula.
when it doesn't happen, you missed a step, or there's something off. And
okay.
So for the formula, I mean, I can keep elaborating on that, but it takes one, you need to be really, really aware of your fears and really see them head on. Because if you're only in a state of desiring something, you're avoiding the ankle weights that could be on you, which is subconscious fear, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people say they want more money. If we're just talking about money. Let's say a lot of people say they want more money, but deep down they have these fears around money. Like if there's even 1% of you that thinks like money is the root of all evil, or people are going to be jealous of you, or like any little bit of that, I don't even care if you're factually right, it's going to hold you back. And your subconscious mind is going to be like stopping you, like a barrier from that money. So you have to like excavate your fear on a really deep level and excavate and get it out. And then what I would also say about knowing is just really being in a state of absolute ownership. And even if it feels weird, just pounding your subconscious mind all the time, pounding it. Don't let it wander, like have it under absolute control.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
And you know, when you're, subconscious mind is strong too, because you know, like I'm like I told you, I'm getting a lot into like really going into hypnosis, like getting deep into my subconscious and seeing what's going on here, because I had a lot of blocks I didn't even realize I had. And most of the time we don't, right? Because I'm a high achiever. I go, I'm like climb the corporate ladder, I hit everything, blah blah blah, but then there's still like you hit a lot and then you lose a lot. Then you hit a lot and then you lose it. I'm like, what is this? This is ridiculous, right? So I get that. And you know, when I did a subconscious mind exercise where I asked myself, subconscious mind, are you afraid of large sums of money? And immediately was like, yep. I'm like, what? Wait, hold up. I didn't even know. I was subconsciously thinking that, right? So I know that you're coaching people. Is this what you're coaching people on? Tell me about your journey, because you went into, you know, entrepreneurship and you have your e-com business and all that great stuff, but you're also coaching. So talk to me about that. Why coaching and what are you doing?
It's a mixture. To answer your question, then I'll expand the coaching. I do mindset work, like we're kind of talking through right now, and exercises to really help them destroy limiting beliefs, you know, get their subconscious mind right, get clear on their goals, all that sort of stuff from a mental level. And then I also talk to them about business strategies. So we'll also talk about bottlenecks in their business, their offer, their positioning, their marketing, how they're acquiring clients, like all of the nitty-gritty of business. I couple it with the mindset because I know they're both very equally important. If I didn't have the offer I had, even with, you know, the hoping and the wishing and the mindset stuff, right? We need both. We need work. We need strategy. We need all of this sort of stuff to really make sure we're in sync. So how I got into coaching is I started to create content on Twitter this past summer. I just felt inclined. I don't know. I remember a couple of things happened within like a day. You ever get that? Like some person said something to you and then another person said something to you.
Yeah.
And it was all around personal brand. I'm like, all right, I got to start a personal brand. It's a sign. And so I started to create content. And from there, people would reach out to me and said, hey, do you offer coaching or mentorship? Because I just talked about my businesses and what I've done. And I was like, yeah, sure.
sure, I do. Of course I do.
This sounds great. You want to pay me? Yeah, you can. So I started coaching because people reached out to me. And then I was like, I love this. This is awesome. This is so rewarding. I get to connect people.
So rewarding.
It's so rewarding. I get to impact them. I have students leaving their 9-to-5 and like their life has completely changed. It's amazing. And so I started coaching founders. Some want to be entrepreneurs, but mainly founders, on helping them grow their business from a strategy standpoint and a mindset standpoint.
How cool is that, right? It's amazing how you're called into something else. I say called because to me, like I said, I believe in God. So I sometimes feel like these things are dropped into our laps and we have to like either take the opportunity or not, like step forward or not, right? And so when you say that you're spiritual, what do you mean by that? What does spirituality mean to you?
So I'm a Christian. My spirituality has kind of evolved.
Yeah.
When I grew up in a Catholic church. And so that did some things to my faith.
Me too.
Right? It took me away from faith for quite a while.
Me too.
I went to college. I had always believed in a higher power, but again, I wasn't religious or spiritual. When I got out of college, I went through a spiritual phase where, again, higher power, but I was more into the universe and signs and synchronicities and all that sort of stuff, which it actually all is kind of more intertwined than we want to think. And then I became more of a Christian in the last two to three years where I'm a Christian. That's my faith.
Yeah. Mine too. How is that journey for you? How are you finding that journey with God, the spirituality and business and all that? What are you seeing in all of that?
It's a great question. I think one, it's a beautiful journey. You know, there's so much we're learning every single day. And I also believe, and you know, some people might get mad at this opinion, but there's a large consensus around the Christian faith that money is evil, right? And I really—
That's wrong, actually.
I have a big problem with this. And I talk about this. And I say, look, it's a resource, right? Like the issue is idolizing an obsession over God. That's the issue. That's the issue. Money was a resource. And a lot of Christians that don't make that much money are coping by saying, well, God doesn't want me rich. Limiting belief. Like, it's a limiting belief. You're saying God doesn't want you to be wealthy. He made Solomon the richest man in the world. And so I butt heads with some people on that, obviously. I mean, some people have that belief and I think it's wrong. I think it's holding them back very, very severely, right? Because if this is your Lord and Savior and you have this firm belief that he doesn't want you to have money, you're going to live a life of poverty. And that's absolutely not what God wants. Like, he wants us abundant, creating our own realities, moving and shaking. So I've overcome that as well, kind of that limiting belief, you know, money is the root of all evil, and just coming to a place where I'm pretty firm in not only my faith, but also my businesses. And I know that this is what we're intended to do as people. And those are my beliefs.
Yeah, I really think that when God gives you like opportunities to be abundant, to have a business, to thrive in your business, right? It's never just for you. It's also for you to do things with integrity. It's to do things to help others. It's to uplift your fellow man. At least this is how I feel, right? And so it's not that money is evil, it's the love of money, right? So it's the actual love that you're putting above from God. And let me tell you, Jared, there's times where even me as a Christian have had to check myself before I wreck myself. You know what I'm saying? Like I've had to look at, oh, that's my goal, that's what I'm going after with, and leaving God like on the passenger seat somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And I've had to correct that, and I've corrected that in the last year or so, because I'm like, God, I'm sorry about that. I've been putting you on the side instead of the driver's seat. And the truth is his creativity, his mindset, his whatever, if you want to call God having a mindset, his is better, way better than ours. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes where I'm looking so limited at what I can do, he's looking at it so in such an abundant way, and then teaches us to be abundant. Now, is there poverty in the world? Yes. But you know what, Jared? We're supposed to help the poor. We're supposed to be there for them, right? We're supposed to, like, if you see somebody hungry, feed them. God was very clear about that. And so I agree with you in that. I feel like money is a resource. It is to help others and leave a legacy, because God talks about leaving a legacy. God talks about buying land. God talks about feeding the village, feeding people. So you're 100%. I agree. I agree with you 1,000% on that. How are you? Here's a question for you as a Christian. How are you combining, I guess, or I guess what I'm trying to ask is with the manifestation piece, right? And thinking in that way, how are you
intertwining those worlds?
Like, oh my, I can't think of the words. Yes, how are you intertwining the world of manifestation with the world of your Christian belief system?
So I believe very strongly, first off, I also have the belief that I feel like a lot of our power, because I believe our ability to use our mind is a superpower. Like, yeah. In the movies, people fly, we have the power to create, right? We're made in the image of God. So obviously we don't have the creation level of God or Jesus, but we have that ability of creation where we can see something in our minds, right? We live in a thought world. Like this microphone was thought in someone's head before it existed, right? Yeah. So we have that incredible power. And I truly believe that there's a lot around that was purposely hidden from us to kind of suppress us, if you want me to be honest. And so I truly believe our ability to create was a God-given miracle. And so when I'm creating, I view it in alignment with God. I don't view it any separately at all. I view it as something that I'm here to create and trailblaze and, you know, make an impact and talk about the things that have changed my life and changed other people's lives and do everything that I can possibly dream of that's obviously within the parameters of being a good person and also having a massive impact. And so I view it as one and the same, right? Mm-hmm. And things are going to happen. And obviously, we just talked about bad things and like all this is part of life.
Yeah.
But I truly believe that like blazing my own trail and going for it, having the courage to take all of this action is completely one with the life I should be living. I feel very aligned. So
that's so good. How I view it. Yeah, it's so good to feel aligned. It's so good to feel aligned, right? And you know when you're off alignment, you really know. Like it just nothing seems right. Like you're constantly hitting your head against a wall, like you just don't get it. And honestly, those are the moments for those of you who are listening and are going through that. Just pause for a second. Just pause, you know, and like Jared said, meditating is actually a very powerful thing. And you can do meditation and movement as well. Like you can be walking on water, walking near water, right? Like just walking and just kind of being in that space of just surrender, right? That just surrendering. And I love that you do that. And so I wanted to, because, you know, I have you here and you're an amazing entrepreneur and you're doing amazing things with your coaching business. Where do you want to go with this? Like, where do you want to see yourself in like 5 years? Not that I'm interviewing you for a job. I'm just like wondering, right? Because it seems like most people, Jared, would probably just be okay and just stay here, right? But you don't strike me as that kind of person. You kind of strike me as the person that wants to go for the next thing. For the higher level, for the, you know, that's what you strike me as. So maybe I'm wrong, but.
You're not wrong.
Okay. That's, I didn't think so.
Very, very correct assessment.
So tell me about that. Where do you want to go?
So I would really love to get into speaking and public speaking and really expand this coaching side that I've embarked on. And I do a lot of things with e-com and my company still runs and we have clients. But you know, I really, really enjoy coaching and I really enjoy impacting people. And I can see myself getting into a public speaking world, giving more speeches, talking about my story, you know, with the thyroid, with, you know, I used to also party a lot. I'm sober now, right? A lot of transformations and a lot of reinventions that I think can help a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I would love to see where that goes in the next 5 years. I think that would be really exciting.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think you would be an amazing speaker because you present yourself very, very well. So many blessings to that, because I think God is going to open those doors big time for you, big time. And in fact, I'm sure that I'm going to see you somewhere on some big ass stage and I'm going to be like, I had him on my podcast first, damn it. You know?
Thank you.
So I'm really happy for you.
I'll bring you backstage. Don't worry.
Yeah, you better. I can just walk out there and announce you. You know what I'm saying? I'm good
Perfect.
At that.
So
that's really great. And I wanted to ask because I feel that from you. Like I feel that passion, that power. I feel that authority. Like I feel that from you, right? I don't normally feel that from a lot of people, but I do feel that from you. And I really feel like you're going to hit the ground running on this. And I don't think it's going to be long from now either, Jared. I feel like it's like around the freaking corner. I really do. It's very interesting that I'm saying that because I normally don't say those type of things, but that's just how I feel. And so I'm really grateful to you for coming on here and like pouring out like all the strategies and the way that you do things. And I want to make sure that before I wrap up that people know how to reach you and how to work with you. Do you work with both genders, by the way, or do you, or just men or?
Both genders.
Okay.
Mainly entrepreneurs, only from the standpoint of there's already a baseline of action taking that I know they'll take. But if you're right. A very ambitious person that wants to start a company, we can still have a conversation.
Yeah. Would it be any company, like a service-based or widgets, or is it anything? Or tell me about that.
Primarily service-based and physical product, because I've owned e-com physical product. And then my Phantom is a service-based in physical product. So I understand those two very well.
Okay. Perfect. All right, good. Because I know that I've actually had a lot of success on this show where I've had people who have come on and have actually worked with people who have listened to the show.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, it's a beautiful thing when I get those emails. I feel so proud, you know, because I know that God gave me this platform as a gift to others, and that's what I use it for. And so I'm grateful to you, and I'm grateful that you came on. I'm grateful that you shared your story, really. I am, and I'm super stoked for what you're going to be doing in the future, because I know I'm going to freaking turn on my freaking YouTube one day, and there he is. I know it. I just freaking know it. So anyway, before I go, how can people find you, work with you, all that kind of stuff?
First off, thank you. And thank you for having me, Nina. It's been super, super fun. And I do believe that you have this for a reason. It's a fantastic show. It's been a fantastic conversation. But at Jared Jennings everywhere. JaredJennings.com is my coaching website. All platforms, Jared Jennings, you'll find me there. And my e-com company, if you are in e-com, is Phantom Brands.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and insights and like leaving people with some nuggets and tools that they could start to implement, because it's time. 2025 is here. We're not promised tomorrow. Like, freaking stop wasting time and let's go, right? Let's go, Jared. Let's
100%.
Thank you for being here. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me and Jared. I know, I told you, amazing freaking human. I love what he's about, what he's doing, and the way he's impacting the world, because that's what this show is about. So guys, if you want to work with him, I'm going to make sure to link all of his information below, because why wouldn't you? What is wrong with y'all? Why wouldn't you? Anyway, this is Nina Perez. This is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.